Good morning, may it please the court. Megan E. Waples on behalf of Plaintiff Appellant Michael Hall. This case comes down to whether the automobile policies purchased by Mr. Hall, apologize, Your Honor, whether the automobile policies purchased by Mr. Hall clearly and unambiguously exclude coverage for personal injury protection or PIP benefits in a situation when Mr. Hall was injured driving his own motorcycle, which was separately insured as required by law. Farmers denied coverage based on Exclusion 1 in its policy, which states that no coverage applies to injuries sustained by you or a family member arising out of the maintenance or use of any motor vehicle owned by you, which is not an insured motor vehicle. As both parties agree, the issue comes down to whether Mr. Hall's motorcycle falls within the definition of insured motor vehicle as given in the policy. Because the plain language of the policy includes Mr. Hall's motorcycle in that definition, coverage is granted in this case by the policy itself. Insured motor vehicle is defined in the policy to mean a motor vehicle of which the insured person is the owner and which, colon, A, the bodily injury liability insurance of the policy applies and a specific premium is charged, period. B, the insured person is required to maintain security under the Colorado Auto Reparations Act, period. So
that seems to me that this case turns on the interpretation of that clause. What would you address why you believe that is not ambiguous?
Your Honor, our position is that under the basic rules of grammar and sentence construction and consistent with the way the rest of the farmer's policy was drafted, those two clauses clearly and unambiguously operate independently. And so Mr. Hall's motorcycle was only required to fulfill one of those subclauses in order to be an insured motor vehicle under the policy. Because his motorcycle was a street motorcycle for which he was required to maintain security under the Colorado Auto Reparations Act, under 1047061A, he was required to maintain the liability coverage described in 1047061A. His vehicle was therefore an insured motor vehicle under the policy, and the exclusion does not apply. So our position is that the language clearly and unambiguously requires that only one subpart of that definition be fulfilled in order to qualify as an insured motor vehicle. This is the construction that makes sense in particular because the interpretation urged by farmers that the definition means only the vehicle actually insured as shown on the declarations would render the second subsection of the definition to be surplusage and would be redundant with a definition that was already included in the policy. Your insured car was defined on page.
These are different coverages though, are they not? I mean, this language that we're looking at in the policy is in the PIP provisions. It's in the PIP coverage.
It's a definition that is specific to the PIP endorsement, as I recall.
And the statute that is specific to the PIP endorsement says that a motorcycle coverage need not include or does not include PIP benefits.
The statute allows that motorcycles were not required to carry PIP, all of the PIP benefits, in the same way that motor vehicles, such as cars, were. However, the statute also, for the purpose of defining when all PIP benefits are payable, specifically redefines motor vehicle to include motorcycles. And so the benefits were clearly payable to Mr. Hall unless
he insured the motorcycle for PIP benefits.
No, he was entitled to receive PIP benefits as a named insured under his policy for his automobiles unless there was a valid and clear and unambiguous exclusion in his policy. The No Fault Act allows an insurance company to include an owned but not insured exclusion in its policy. However, in this case, because farmers failed to do so, the PIP benefits are payable to a named insured in any accident involving any motor vehicle, including a motorcycle.
This definition comes from, is drawn from a definition provided by the insurance commissioner. Is that not correct?
Well, I would first note that argument was raised for the first time on appeal. That suggestion was never made below, and there are certainly legal and factual questions that should not be considered for the first time on appeal, including whether it actually was drafted in reliance on that language put forward by the commissioner, what the language drafted by the commissioner was, what it was intended to do, and where it came from, but also there are questions as to whether that language should be entitled to deference in this situation, given that it was apparently drafted 30 years or nearly 30 years prior to the issuance of this policy, and there have been changes to the statute and changes to the case law. However, even setting aside those issues, there's a clear difference between the language as drafted by the Commissioner of Insurance and the language in Farmers Policy. The language drafted by the Commissioner includes a semicolon and therefore under the basic rules of grammar and syntax, you would require both subsections to meet the definition. Farmers altered that language to eliminate that, that conjunction and therefore changed the meaning of the policy. So in this case, the plain language of the policy fails to require that the insured vehicle meet, or that the vehicle meet both subparts in order to qualify as an insured motor vehicle.
Given what you just, and it was before Judge Nadel's question, what you just conceded, I heard you say that, that they could, given the statute, put an owned but not insured exclusion into the policy. And if that's correct, I'm a little unclear about why and how De Herrera might help you. You rely on De Herrera pretty heavily.
Well, there's two points that come from De Herrera. The first point is that there's no, as the trial court erroneously held, there's no categorical exclusion on receiving PIP benefits when a motorcycle is involved in an accident. The trial court made a very sweeping decision that there could, that there was some sort of statutory prohibition on the payment of PIP benefits to an individual who's injured while riding a motorcycle, and that's incorrect. And De Herrera and Brucia both make that clear as a simple proposition in terms of when the benefits are payable. De Herrera also becomes involved when considering the interpretation of the subclause urged by Farmers, which would make the subclause, which would define the definition so narrowly as to make the exclusion too broad and bring it into conflict with De Herrera, because it would exclude coverage when the insured was riding in any vehicle other than that they owned, other than the vehicle under the policy, and that would violate the personal nature of the PIP coverage. So that really goes only to the particular interpretation of the definition that's being urged by Farmers. But we don't contest, I mean, the statute clearly states that when there's a vehicle that's owned but not actually covered under this Part 7, the benefits are not necessarily payable. That's a permissive exclusion, however, that was not properly included in this policy.
And if we agree with you in terms of the, I guess you're saying read them conjunctively because it's at the very, or disjunctively because at the very least it's ambiguous, which of the A or B clauses would you say is your stronger argument for not being excluded?
The B clause, the motorcycle clearly fits in the B clause. Farmers has not urged any interpretation of the B clause that would exclude the motorcycle. He was required to maintain liability insurance under the No-Fault Act, and so he, his motorcycle would clearly fall within the B clause.
So liability insurance equals security, you would say?
I would say so. There's no definition of security given within the policy. There's also no definition of security given within the No-Fault Act, but certainly a common understanding of the word security would be liability insurance. So the definition of security required under the No-Fault Act would reasonably be read by an insurer to mean the liability insurance.
But considering where it is placed in the policy and where it is placed in the statute, security could be limited to PIP benefits.
I think that would be a technical or a somewhat constrained definition. I think security in terms of insurance law is more commonly understood to mean liability insurance, where you're secured against your liability to someone else than the direct benefits that are constitute the remainder of the PIP benefits. The benefits described in 1047 and 61B through E are payable directly to the insured or to any other person injured while riding in the insured motor vehicle, depending on their status. So those are really direct benefits that would actually be less like security than liability insurance, which is intended to be a security against your liability to other individuals. So I think the most plain reading of security is actually liability insurance.
And you don't have to show the most plain reading, you just have to show it's a plausible reading under your construction against the insurance company. Is that your opinion?
Absolutely. And to the extent that there's ambiguity, it would, of course, under the basic rules of contract construction, have to be construed against the drafter and in favor of coverage because of the nature of the relationship here. And that goes back to also the fact that to the extent that there's confusion because there's not a clear way to construe this definition that gives full meaning to both subparts, that renders the definition ambiguous and it must be construed against the drafter. And there is, of course, assuming that Mr. Hall's motorcycle falls within the definition under subpart B, there's no need to interpret subpart A in terms of the De Herrera issue. That really only becomes an issue if the court accepts Farmer's interpretation of the definition as contained in the policy. If there are no further questions, I think I'll go ahead and reserve the rest of my time.
You have about 5.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm John Lebsack, and I represent Farmers Insurance in this case. The issue is not as simple, I believe, as just looking at what this policy language says and trying to interpret what that means in isolation. This policy, this section of the policy, the PIP section of the policy, was designed to carry out a statutorily created insurance system, the PIP system. In 1974, the legislature created that, and in enacting that statute, it's clear from the statute they created that they didn't want to treat street motorcycles the same as the other kinds of vehicles. And a division of this court in the Lamb case in 2002 noted that, that right from the start, motorcycles were put in a separate category. The reasons, you know, we can speculate as to the reasons. The fact is that motorcycles were never, from the start, included in mandatory PIP coverage. There was no change in the statute that altered that. So the section 707, which governs, you know, when the named insured must have PIP coverage, that stayed the same right from 1974 through the end of the PIP statute. So when we look at what does this language mean, what did the policy try to do, we have to look at it in the context of that PIP system.
And the system is one where it's not mandated, but it can be covered, is that
right? It can be covered, right. So a motorcycle, a street motorcycle, because De Herrera, was an off-the-road motorcycle, which changes the whole game. Street motorcycle, this case involves a street motorcycle, under the PIP statute, was required to carry liability insurance because in the definition, the main definition, it said all motor vehicles, including street motorcycles, have to carry liability. Then it went on to say that cars, autos, those kinds of vehicles, they have to carry no-fault coverage too. And then we come to this critical section, which is section 707, which talks about when the named insured and when relatives, resident relatives, when they're entitled to no-fault coverage. And, you know, there's a long line of cases going back to Thompson in 1980 that talks about if you're the named insured, or resident relative, and you're hurt involved in while using a motorcycle, can you bootstrap your way into getting some kind of PIP coverage? And there's a consistent holding that no, the only way you get PIP coverage is if the vehicle that you're using, if you're using a vehicle, riding a vehicle, is if that vehicle has no-fault coverage. We're not talking about pedestrians or off-road. We're talking about registered on-road vehicles. So if you are in a car, you're the named insured, and or any vehicle that doesn't have PIP coverage, which is not insured under this Part 7, then you don't get PIP coverage. Now, there's a disagreement.
Mandatory PIP coverage.
Mandatory PIP coverage. We're not, yeah, you can, if you could go find a policy, theoretically, and I don't know whether this is even possible, but, you know, in theory, you could go try to find some policy on a motorcycle that would include PIP coverage. But Farmers didn't include this in this policy. It's, I concede it's theoretically possible you could try to find optional. But this language is in an auto policy that was intended and designed to comply with the statute. The language that Farmers used, we didn't write this language. This language was written by the insurance commissioner in 1974.
Although you left out some punctuation that
we did.
We should probably put in, don't you?
Yeah, in hindsight, we didn't quote it, you know, exactly. There's one word that's missing. But I will explain why I don't think in this case that makes any difference. I'll get to that. Well, why don't I get to it right now? There's two parts to this definition that the insurance commissioner wrote. Let's back up a second and look at what the insurance commissioner was trying to do. This was a new system created in 1974. Insurance companies didn't know what to do, so the insurance commissioner published an endorsement. This is our approved endorsement. Use this. It's designed to carry out what the PIP statute requires.
Is this in the record below? Or?
It's not. And that is...
What do we do with that?
Well, I believe that this is an issue of law that you can take judicial notice of.
Well, you can't take judicial notice that the insurance commissioner issued a document and said this will comply with the statute, can we?
No. Well, you can take judicial notice of the fact that published in the Colorado Lawyer was what Dick Laugesen represented to be and quoted as the insurance commissioner's approved language. When I was preparing the brief, I called the insurance commissioner to see if they have records, and they said, forget about it. So I don't know if it's possible. Based on what they said, it's not possible. So the insurance commissioner is designing this endorsement to be used by all different companies to comply with this new statute. If you look at the way that that endorsement is structured, it is structured so that companies can use it regardless of how they issue coverage. Now, this is a point that the trial court made in a paragraph that we concede is incorrect. And it's the paragraph in the trial court's order where he says, you know, if you want coverage, you got to buy it vehicle by vehicle. That we concede that that is error. It's harmless. There are different ways to issue insurance policies on cars. One is the way Farmers does it, which is you have a pickup, we issue a policy for the pickup, only that vehicle. You have a car, we issue it on that car. You know, it's vehicle by vehicle. Each policy insures one vehicle. There's other companies that do it in different ways, which is they issue one policy to the named insured, commonly the named insured and spouse, and that policy will list all the different vehicles. So this endorsement that the insurance commissioner used will fit both ways. It can fit on a policy that covers multiple vehicles. It can fit on policies like the one that Farmers used that insures one vehicle. So let's try to figure out what this language could possibly mean, because I can see, Judge Nieto, that second phrase is not crystal clear. But I think if you look at what the purpose of this phrase in the commissioner's language, I think it does become clear. There's two parts. First is you got to be to be an insured motor vehicle for purposes of PIP coverage. It's subpart A. It's quoted the same in the Farmers policy. The bodily injury liability insurance applies. It means it's a car that is listed, some kind of vehicle that's listed on the policy. So let's just take an example of a company that issues policies insuring several different vehicles. You could have a company that decides to issue a policy that issues a car and a motorcycle on the same policy and just makes it clear the car includes PIP coverage, a motorcycle doesn't.
That's now, when you say a specific premium is charged in sub A, that's a specific premium not for liability but for PIP.
I think what it means is bodily injury liability insurance applies and for which. I think the construction is for which the liability coverage.
Okay, it's liability coverage that triggers A, you think?
But yes.
The specific premium charge is for liability coverage.
Yes. And I think what they're trying to do there is that they charge you something to insure that car. I don't think that's the key to what this case hinges on.
But you can see that phrase then does apply to a motorcycle.
It could. It could, and that's why B is there. I was getting to the connection of why B is there. It could be, under the way the endorsement was written by the commissioner, that you could have a policy that listed several different vehicles that are insured for liability. Motorcycle has to have liability. So you could put a motorcycle on a policy along with a car. Motorcycle doesn't have to have PIP, the car does. So under A, first test is it's got to have bodily injury liability. So it's got to be listed on the policy. So that could bring you into a motorcycle. So that's why the commissioner then added a second part, which is we're not going to require you to insure motorcycles. So what is the and there for? And the named insured is required to maintain security under the Colorado Accident Reparations Act. So it's a vehicle.
But there is no and.
There is in the insurance commissioners.
Not in your contract.
Not in ours, and I'll explain why in this case that doesn't make a difference. In some cases it might, but not in this case. So what the insurance commissioner was trying to do, and my point is, what does that second phrase mean? What that phrase means a vehicle that has to have PIP coverage. That's what the insurance commissioner is...
Security means PIP, you say?
Yes, PIP. Not insurance in general, it means PIP. And that kind of reading is consistent with, for example, what the Thompson case said way back in 1980.
And your position doesn't have to be that's the only possible reading of it?
I'm saying that is the common sense, natural language interpretation of what the insurance commissioner's phrase, maintaining security.
Here's what I'm struggling with. I'm not trying to figure out what the insurance commission meant in something that we may not be able to take notice of. I'm trying to figure out what Farmers meant or what a reasonable insured would have understood Farmers to have meant when they put this exclusion in. Isn't that what we have to do?
I don't believe so, and here's why. The insurance commissioner issues an endorsement. It's something that has the presumptive approval of the insurance commissioner to carry out the PIP statute. We use that phrase. We didn't write the phrase. The insurance commissioner wrote the phrase. So now, the normal rule is you construe ambiguities against the insurance company. Well, I don't think that applies here because this is not our phrase. I think what the proper way to approach this is to interpret what that phrase means in the context of where it came from.
But it really is, and you haven't gotten to it, I guess, the reason why it is your phrase, because you've not included a semicolon, you've put a period,
yes,
and you've not included a conjunctive.
Right, so here's why.
You better get to the end.
Right, here's why I don't think it makes a difference. In the way that Farmers does it, we only issue policies vehicle by vehicle. So the way the insurance commissioner wrote this, it's a Swiss Army knife type of endorsement. It can cover the way that some companies do it, insure multiple vehicles. It can apply and be used in a Farmer's method, which is you insure one vehicle at a time. So in the Farmer's method, subpart A is always going to be there. It's going to be, the vehicle.
Sub A is always going to be satisfied.
Right, because Farmers, you just insure one vehicle. So in some cases, there might be a problem because there could be some situations where there's a car that is not listed, a car, not a motorcycle, but a car that's not listed, but the named insured had to maintain security, had to maintain PIP coverage. Well, that creates a conflict because B is met, A is not. That is not present here. There's an ambiguity and a problem in application to other cases, not to this case. So applied to this case, there is no ambiguity. Subpart A, is it a vehicle listed on the liability section of the policy? No. B, is it a vehicle for which the named insured was required to maintain security? Meaning, was this the kind of vehicle that had to have PIP coverage? No, it's a street motorcycle.
And you're saying this language is in the street motorcycle coverage policy?
No.
You're not saying that?
No. The motorcycle coverage has nothing whatsoever to do with PIP at all. That the whole PIP section is absent from that motorcycle policy. I don't even think it's in the record.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is when you interpret this auto policy, what the task is there some way that we're required under this auto policy to provide PIP coverage for this motorcycle accident? And the statute, I think it's been clear over the years, the statute doesn't require that. The insurance doesn't prohibit it, but doesn't require it. And Lamb, in 2002, this court said that's modern law. Even after 28 years of the PIP statute, that's still the law. If you have a motorcycle policy and a car policy, you can't get PIP coverage under the car policy when you're hurt while riding your motorcycle.
Is that a general statement or based on the language of the policy there involved?
It's based on the statute. The language of the policy is not quoted in Lamb. If it was, then we could, hone in and say, is Lamb really on all fours? It's not because they don't quote the language. But I submit that under that same logic, which is the statute doesn't require it, the language we've got at issue was created by the insurance commissioner to comply with the statute. Our language doesn't require Farmers to provide PIP coverage because Mr. Hall was riding his street motorcycle at the time of the accident. So I see that my time is running out. So unless you have any other questions, thank you.
You're just perfect on your time, Mr. Levin.
Almost.
Try to also be just perfect on my time, see how I do. I'd like to start by addressing Mr. Levesque's contention that there's no relevant changes to the statute here with regard to motorcycles. In fact, that's not correct. In 1974, when this statute was first drafted, motorcycles were not included at all. There was no requirement for motorcycles to have any coverage under the No-Fault Act. In 1984, 4 years after Thompson versus Dairyland was decided, I think it's important to understand that at the time that Thompson versus...
Correct. Let me ask you a question. You mean in 1974, when PIP was adopted, there was no requirement that motorcycles carry liability coverage?
Not under the No-Fault Act as constructed. I'm not sure if there was a requirement elsewhere in the statute. But in terms of the phrase not actually covered under this Part 7, at that time, motorcycles were not covered. Section 10.4707... 10.4705(3) was added in 1984, 4 years after Thompson versus Dairyland was decided, to require motorcycles to carry liability insurance. So there was a significant change to the statute, which is part of what the Lamb Court struggled with in defining the scope of the mandatory PIP coverage and defining the scope of a permissible owned but not insured exclusion. Because motorcycles now were actually covered by this Part 7 in a way that they were not under Thompson when Thompson versus Dairyland was decided, but there was still a distinction between the amount of coverage they were actually required to carry. And so there actually has been a significant change
that's
with regard to motorcycles.
Section.
That's only with regards to liability.
Now,
but that's when...
No fault is a separate part of the statute.
I would disagree with that interpretation. The benefits are all described in 10.4706 1A to 1E. 1A is liability. Typically, the term direct benefits or PIP benefits refers most specifically to 10.4706 1B through E, because those are the benefits, as I said before, that are directly payable to the insured as opposed to being liability. But they're all included within the same mandatory coverage. They're all mandatory for cars. Only one is mandatory for motorcycles. With regard to the effect of LAM, I think it's important to understand that the effect of LAM was not to say that PIP benefits cannot be payable unless the car is specifically insured for PIP benefits. The effect of LAM was to say that it doesn't have to be paid to motorcycles, and they can permissibly be excluded. However, under De Herrera, PIP coverage is a personal coverage that is payable to the named insured and resident relatives, irrespective of that person's occupancy in a vehicle covered by a PIP insurance policy at the time of the injury. So that is why this does come down to the language of this policy.
Are there two De Herreras?
There's one De Herrera at the Supreme Court level, Your Honor. I can give you the citation.
And that deals with uninsured motorists?
It dealt with both PIP coverage and uninsured motorists. And there is an important distinction. De Herrera does not mandate coverage in this case because this is a street motorcycle and De Herrera dealt with an off-road motorcycle. However, De Herrera's holding was that PIP coverage follows the named insured subject only to the statutory exclusions. So unless there is a valid, clear, and unambiguous exclusion in this policy that excludes coverage in this situation, the benefits follow the named insured and are payable regardless of what motor vehicle he was occupying at the time of his injury. And so that's why it does come down to whether this exclusion, as drafted by Farmers and included in the Farmers policy in 2003, excluded coverage in this case. And I'd like to go to the fact that Farmers suggests for the first time at oral argument, I don't believe this was in their briefs, that the normal rules of contract interpretation don't apply because they're relying on this language allegedly drafted by the commissioner in 1974. And as support for that, the suggestion is that that was presumptively valid. There's another important change that occurred between 1974 and today, which is that Colorado changed from a prior approval state, in which case insurance companies were required to get the approval of the insurance commissioner before using their forms in the state, to a certify and use state. in which insurance companies are responsible for certifying the validity and the compliance of their forms to the commissioner and can then use them immediately. So Farmers is responsible for the language that it drafted. It is not entitled to some presumption of validity based on the presumed intent of the commissioner, which this court cannot delve into as a factual issue that was never addressed below. They are stuck with the language that was in their policy. And that language must be construed based on the fundamental principles of contract interpretation. Because it was their obligation to limit coverage as they saw fit and they failed to do so, the PIP benefits are clearly payable to Mr. Hall when injured in an accident on his motorcycle. So in this case, because there's no valid exclusion that clearly and unambiguously excludes coverage, the coverage under this policy applies to Mr. Hall even while riding his motorcycle. There are no further questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We thank both counsel for their arguments and briefs. The case will be deemed submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course. You need a break?